Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and summer is the time of year when I usually head up to Saratoga Springs in upstate New York, and I go there for one thing and one thing only, to play the ponies. And if I've had a good day at Saratoga's historic racetrack, I might head down Phyla Street, a little side street off Broadway, to a great old restaurant that serves real southern fried chicken. Right next door to that restaurant is Cafe Lena, which it turns out is one of the most historic folk music clubs in the Northeast. Bob Dylan played his first gig outside New York City at Cafe Lena. So I'm a little embarrassed to say that I've never actually gone in. It's just not what I'm up there for. But today, I'm finally getting a chance to peek inside Cafe Lena, sort of, when we talk with the historian behind a new book and CD set called From 40 Years of the Coffee House's Live Performances. You can hear what I've been missing later on the show. But first, if you missed out on the band Nickel Creek before its members went their separate ways in 2007, now's your chance to hear them playing live. The bluegrass trio, made up of mandolin player Chris Thiele, guitarist Sean Watkins, and his sister, violinist Sarah Watkins, started playing together when they were just kids, literally. Now they've reunited and released a brand new record called A Dotted Line. We're about to hear some of it live. This song is called Destination. It's a reunited Nickel Creek live on Soundcheck.
One, two, three. You don't owe me one more minute of your wasted time. You act like it's all fine. All the years I gave you, thinking you knew that you wanted me. And I wanted to believe I'm God.
This time I've got no hesitation.
That is Nickel Creek, and that's why everyone's so excited that they are back. Nickel Creek with a new record out called A Dotted Line, and they just played live here in the Soundcheck studio a song called Destination. Nickel Creek is, as it always was, Sarah Watkins on fiddle and vocals, Chris Thiele on mandolin and vocals, and Sean Watkins on guitar and vocals. Mark Schatz playing bass with them here in the studio. And to the three of you, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
All repeat offenders, but first time as this trio. Normally, just let me break the fourth wall here for a moment. Normally, Irene would spend the last hour setting up microphones in front of each of you and headphone monitors. You know, that's how we do it with bands. But not today. The three of you were around a single mic. Old school style, you know, like that great scene of the Soggy Bottom Boys in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
So you're listening to each other, you're harmonizing, you're sort of acoustically, you know, finding your place. How hard was it to get back into that when the three of you? I mean, you've done this since you were kids. Was it just instant, or did you have to work on this?
It's never easy. To make music is hard. Making music is hard. Making good music is harder. But relatively speaking, I would say it was easy. It's interesting. What an incredible asset it is to have started making music together when Sarah and I were 8, Sean was 12, and I think having finally found some other outlets for ourselves. Mm-hmm. After 7 years of finding other outlets and being able to, just explore whatever harebrained schemes we had that maybe were forced in the context of Nickel Creek and aren't forced in their own context, I think it created a fairly intense desire for that ease. It's that shirt that you put back on and you're like, ah.
Yeah, very much, very, very much so. And like it's most natural for us to play around one mic like this because when we rehearse in a dressing room, for instance, or sitting around writing songs, that's how we do it. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, we've been getting together on Monday. Tuesday was our first day rehearsing some of these songs, playing through them, trying to figure out how to perform them well together. We recorded them, but we haven't had time to play with each other until this week. And so this is still, especially this week, really good, really fun for us to, because we're playing for each other more than performing them in front of microphones. And it's the most natural way for these songs to be played, I think.
Right. Baby steps.
Back on the front porch. Huh?
Yeah.
So is it now odd for you guys that there are people who know you from your other projects? Because it's been,
awesome. It's so great. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Chris Thiele, the Punch Brothers guy, Sarah Watkins. Oh, yeah, I heard her hosting Prairie Home Companion. Who does that who's not Garrison Keillor? And Sean with Fiction Family. I mean, is it kind of odd to have people?
It's great. It's really cool. I remember the first time somebody came up to me and said something like, hey, are you Sean from Fiction Family? And it was really, really cool. And, I think it's the obvious thing that, time away of doing other things really it adds to you as a personal, your musical personality, your individual musical personality. And so, bringing that all together, with the comfort of Nickel Creek, it's really fun.
Can I ask you about the first ever gig, the first time you guys played, maybe not on the front porch, but in front of people? Where was that?
Was it Calico? Well,
I think it was the Calico
contest, right?
Yeah, the contest.
Because I remember playing at Lake Henshaw and being like, direct from Calico Ghost Town. There was we entered a band contest. It was the first time that we played as a band.
And where is this?
Where is it?
In Barstow, California, desert town. It's like an old mining town that they turned into like a little, it's very...
With fake cap gun fights.
Pie-eating contest.
Barstow, made famous by a Harry Parch piece. The 20th century hobo / instrument inventor / composer.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's insane.
Six hitchhiker inscriptions found on
the side of the road in Barstow, California, to music.
Oh, wow.
It's genius. Wow. Anyway, okay, so you're in Barstow, you've entered a battle of the bands, and yeah. You're 8 and 8 and 12 still?
Yeah, we entered the beginning band contest. Eight, I think we got 12. Third place or something. There were probably 4 entries.
Yeah.
And or possibly 3.
But we placed.
Yeah. We grew up playing together, playing tunes. Our teachers were in a band together called Bluegrass, Etc., which is... and so they would get us up individually to play tunes or all together to all play Salt Creek or Red Haired Boy or some traditional fiddle tune.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew each other that way. And then there was this scheme to get a local kids band to be the opening band at a local festival called at Lake Henshaw in California. And so we did that. And then I think we just kind of kept going. We were just like, okay, what's next?
Yeah. And what's next was almost a 20-year run, and then a 7-year hiatus. But even when you guys, said farewell, you said farewell for now. So this reunion isn't going to be a huge surprise.
It doesn't even feel like a reunion, really. It just kind of feels like we didn't record or tour for a long time.
Okay.
And now we did.
And so, getting back to the question of, it's very organic, the three of you around a single mic. Chris, how organic was the writing process when you all reconvened to make this record?
I think that was the big question mark for us is, basically it was the number that kind of catalyzed us doing some more stuff. And it was just like, whoa, 25th year anniversary. Mm. That's pretty trippy, given the fact that, I'm 33, you're 32, 37. That we can have a 25th year anniversary is pretty fun.
Yeah.
And so we thought, it would be stupid not to just...
Do something
yeah. for that and just sort of embrace the trippiness of it. But we didn't know to what extent it would be kind of like, just a walk down memory lane? Or will there be a new... will something new? Do we have more to say?
Well, yeah, you mentioned before, Chris, the idea that the three of you have been pursuing things that might have seemed like you were pushing it if it was Nickel Creek, but that seemed more organic to these other projects. Mm-hmm. There's a song on the record called Hayloft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, who wrote that one? Is this all collaborative?
It's a cover.
That is actually a cover so I was driving... up to my little brother Daniel picked me up on the way to Thanksgiving maybe 2 years ago Thanksgiving with our folks, and he was playing me stuff. I Daniel's a very good musician, but he our music tastes are fairly different.
Uh-huh.
But he was playing me some of his stuff, and I was going yeah all right. And then he played me this mother song called Hayloft. I'd never heard of the band. They're from Canada. I don't think they've done much in the States.
Hmm.
And my mind was blown. I subsequently played it for Punch Buzzers, and they were like, that's okay. And then I was going, I want to play this song. And I played it for Sean and Sarah, and they freaked out just as much as I did. So then we worked it up.
Yeah, it's one of those songs that we listen to, and adapting a song like that can be it can be pretty dodgy sometimes. Like a popular song, just doing it on folk instruments can be like a shtick. All right, I see what you did there.
Picking on mother.
But the lyrics are like,
Dad's
got a gun.
It lent itself to it. I was going like, it's Hayloft. Daddy's got a gun. It's tailor made. This is bluegrass.
And
it's
like the bluegrass version of Pumped Up Kicks or something.
Yeah. So, and then also instrumentally, we listened to it at Chris's apartment a couple times, and
that riff.
We just sort of picked it out. It was like, well, you could do this, I could do that,
yeah.
And then we could do, it just instrumentally it seemed to kind of make sense. But lyrically, Hayloft and a daddy with a shotgun, it's like, that's bluegrass.
Also, that on their version there's a female lead vocal and a male lead vocal.
Yeah,
so it works.
So we could do it.
Yeah.
I'm a girl
and I'm a boy.
And
I'm
also
a boy too.
So
I don't like where this is going.
First,
do you two need to get a room or something?
No, we first burst it up exactly as mother recorded it, and then when we got in the studio with Eric Valentine, we altered some things and then had some fun with the production. My daddy's got a gun, my daddy's got a gun, my daddy's got a gun, you better run. My daddy's got a gun, my daddy's got a gun, my daddy's got a gun. It started with the hayloft, creaking, yeah, just started in the hay. With the slump jumps up, pop went creeping, out through the pile up to the hay. Young lovers and they are not sleeping.
has Nickel Creek now, I mean, has the sound of Nickel Creek expanded to where it can include a Mother Mother song, you know, a Hayloft cover and all this gunplay in the lyrics and stuff?
Hopefully.
We'll see. I mean, it kind of, guess it did.
It's a great track. I think you guys did a terrific job with it. We are speaking with Sarah Watkins, Sean Watkins, and Chris Thiele. They are, once again, Nickel Creek after 7 years of not so much being Nickel Creek, but being their own people and doing their own things. They are back with a new record called A Dotted Line. And should we do Rest of My Life next?
Yeah.
The band is performing here in the Soundcheck studio today. Nickel Creek with us live on Soundcheck. Here's their song called Rest of My Life.
Solar cups, the sun in our eyes, but it's one of those endings. No one claps 'cause they're sure that there's more. What a great way to start the first day you missed my life. I guess the show's gone on, so we pick up the pieces.
Rest of My Life, new song from Nickel Creek here in the Soundcheck studio. That's Chris Thiele singing, playing mandolin, Sarah Watkins playing the fiddle, singing as well, Sean Watkins playing guitar and singing, and Mark Schatz playing the bass. Chris, is that one of yours, that song?
Well, that's a good example of how the collaborative process went. Sean came in with that start, just that guitar riff.
Yeah, I had this you know, morning after kind of thing at this. I used to have this house in Hollywood, and it was a big old house, had a bunch of rooms, and we would have, you know, really great late night, you know, picking parties, people playing, staying and playing music all night. And I woke up one morning, and, you know, the sun was shining. I was not feeling so as fresh as I'd like. And I just kind of, and my guitar was on the couch.
And why is that, Sean? Why is that?
Well, Chris, when a man...
When a man and a bottle of
when
beer,
a man and a bottle of whiskey, I want to become intimate.
Sometimes you just get so thirsty.
It's just, you know, and it just tastes so good on the lips.
I understand.
But it was sometimes you pick up an instrument and you just start playing without thinking about it, and it's just like visceral kind of. Mm-hmm. And I sat there, the TV was on, I just picked up my guitar and I was like. I mean, literally just played that. It just kind of came out.
That's
and I was just like watching TV. It was what my soul was. And then I thought, well, I'll record that. And this was a long, long time ago. And then I kind of made up a little melody around it. And I tried to find words for it. Never could find the right thing. And it just sort of got lost, you know, in the mix. And then when we got together and started writing here in New York last June at Chris's apartment, you know, you're kind of digging through little bits and pieces that you have, you know, little note voice memos on your phone and like, oh wow, a year ago I had this thing, I forgot about that. And so that was one that I had, and I showed it to Chris, or I showed it
and
Sarah
you told
knew
me
it.
And more importantly, you told me that story.
Yeah. And
it was just
like
oh, and then what about what a great way, you know, the idea of like, well, like sarcastically saying, what a great way to start the first day of the rest of my life.
And the other thing that was cool is Chris was like, oh, can I sing it? yeah, so it was. Yeah.
And did you have that kind of tricky sort of rhythmic thing at the towards the end?
The bridge thing.
The bridge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was something that we made together. Chris thought of.
Yeah. It was nice. Like, yeah, there's like all of a sudden there's this weird like glimmer of whatever French impression.
Yeah, right.
Something.
Yeah. What about this next song, 21st of May? I mean, what a specific title. Where does that come from?
Well,
Sean?
Yeah, many of you folks might remember that back, you know, 2011. The 21st of May was supposedly the rapture, the end of the world as we know it. Said a particular preacher out in California whose name was Harold Camping, and he's since passed away. But I remember driving around Hollywood where I was living. There was these big signs that had like they were usually like Coca-Cola, like big billboards, right in prime areas, and then there was one big one that said it was just like all black and in white letters it said like May 21st, prepare for the end, or to meet, you know,
prepare
to go
for
to
lift
hell
off,
yeah, yeah, it was just very, very stark and dark, and then I started seeing them all around, and you know, you hear commercials, and so
commercials for the rapture.
Oh yeah,
the guy
bought airtime. It was a big campaign.
Bought airtime, yeah. And I mean millions of dollars.
Wow.
This guy spent.
Yeah,
and I had this melody floating around for like a couple of years, like the like, well, you'll hear it, but and I could not find the right lyrical content where I kept trying to force stuff in, and finally I just left it sitting there, and I was driving around on the day before May 21st, and I saw that sign. I was like, you know what, I think that's, and it just happened really quick. I wrote the song in a day, and then
prayed, you know, that you'd be there on May 22nd.
It was
actually
a very, yeah, very close call, but we've made it through. And
all right, well, why don't you play it,
shall
for
we
us?
Okay. All right,
Nickel Creek with us here in the Soundcheck studio. The new album is called A Dotted Line. It is out now, but why play the record when we can have the band play it for you live? The song is called 21st of May. Sarah Watkins, Sean Watkins, Chris Thiele with Mark Schatz on bass. They are Nickel Creek live on Soundcheck.
About the coming judgment day. Yes, the end is drawing nigh. Hallelujah, the 21st of May. They laughed wept while Noah built his boat, and then cried when came the rains. And they mock me now, but I will float on the 21st of May. Hallelujah, the 21st of May. They laughed while Noah built his boat, and then cried when came the rains. And they mock me now, but I will float on the 21st of May. Yes, they mock me now, but I will float on the 21st of May.
That's nicely done. Nickel Creek live on soundcheck with their song 21st of May. Sarah Watkins playing fiddle, Chris Thiele mandolin, Sean Watkins the guitar, with Mark Schatz on bass here in the soundcheck studio. There's like a long tradition of those songs about the apocalypse.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, gospel music in general is plays a big role in
gospel,
you know,
of course, which means good news.
Good news.
Actually, bad news.
Psych. So they play a big role in bluegrass festivals. A lot of bluegrass festivals have the first, you know, couple hours or 3 hours of the of shows will be gospel sets.
Yeah. Nickel Creek is with us here in the soundcheck studio. I have to ask, how often have you guys been mistaken for Nickelback?
So often.
Well, but it's usually by people like on Twitter who, you know, I don't.
A lot of people have been. I thought you were talking about Nickelback. A lot of people have tweeted this.
Yeah.
Many, in recent days.
Like late night in truck stops, a whole lot. Like when we've been touring on the bus and, mm-hmm. you know, you stop, driver's getting gas or whatever, and you're looking in the little convenience store for what might possibly fill the void, you know, whether it's Doritos or Twinkies, something's gonna fill the void.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be bad for you. But usually, you know, they see the bus and they're like, so who y'all playing with?
Yeah.
And we'll be like, it's Nickel Creek, and they get really excited.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, get real. I love Nickelback.
How you remind me?
How you that? This is how you remind me. No, Nickel Creek, and then of course their faces fall. They're like, I never heard of y'all.
We've actually done radio visits where they thought Nickelback was coming in.
No,
like there was one. Somebody knew that it was Nickel Creek, the person who booked us. But like the other people working at the station would just be like, oh, I was expecting Nickelback. And yeah.
So have you ever actually gone through an interview pretending to be Nickelback?
No, and we should actually have learned a couple of songs over the years.
No.
I feel like this was a lost
opportunity. Sean says no. No, you should.
This is a lost opportunity.
Well, now, see, here's why I bring this up.
Jeez,
we should totally do that. This is.
I was going to actually play some Nickelback for you, but I'm going to just ask Chris to sing them for us.
Do an impression.
No, let me ask you this. First of all, did you ever meet them?
No.
Okay.
No, you know what? One time I was having lunch with a friend at this hotel in Los Angeles, and John Paul Jones, who was producing Sarah's record, first record, Led Zeppelin bass player.
Sure.
He was there. I think we were meeting with him maybe, and there was a couple other people at this lunch. Anyway, at one point the singer from Nickelback came up and tapped John on the shoulder and wanted an autograph, and I was just looking at just thinking about the contrast in rock people, what was happening right over there. It was an interesting little thing, but I didn't meet him. No.
All right. So what we have done in the past on Soundcheck when we have sound-alike names is, for example, when Creed Bratton, Creed from The Office, came in, we played him some songs by the band Creed, and he gave us his response.
Awesome.
So now I would like to do the same with you guys, if you're willing to play along. So let me play for you a little bit of Nickelback, and then we'll get Nickel Creek's reaction.
I'm through with standing in line to clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs, and a bathroom I can play baseball in, and a king-size tub big enough for 10 plus me.
What you need?
Wow. So he's got a big bathroom.
He wants to play baseball in his bathroom.
He likes sports. He's Canadian, though.
I mean, where do you start with that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's
song, a well-known song?
A bathtub big enough to play baseball in. That's a good idea.
Yeah. That song is called Rockstar.
Uh-huh. Oh, so yeah.
This is not one of the songs that has sort of transformed Nickelback into a musical punchline.
This is just one of your personal favorites.
Well, I have to say, I didn't pick this. Katie picked this one.
Oh,
nice job, Katie.
I was laughing along with you guys for the same reason. I was hearing it for the first time, and it's just like, oh yeah,
yeah.
It's like the voice on Hey Dude, the old Nickelodeon show. There was a
Hey,
this is a dude ranch voice.
Oh my gosh! All right, let me play you another one.
We are off to a strong start.
You're off to a very well. Okay.
What do you have for us next, Katie?
Nickel Creek on Nickelback. Here's another song from their album Dark Horse. Something in your mouth from Nickelback.
Something in your mouth.
Something in your mouth.
Hey,
that is great.
I don't title them. I just repeat what's written in front of me. That is the name of the song.
Oh,
all right,
wow.
Nickel Creek, what do you think of that Nickelback song?
Hottie with a $1 million body, was that the first line?
Yeah, and you'd pay her
just to
touch it.
Pay her just to touch, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
I've never heard of such a woman. Wait, is it $1 million body or $1 million... It was $1 million body.
I think she's a millionaire.
Like $1 million.
You have to figure that
she's
as
like
the listener.
The equivalent
well,
of the millionaire peanut.
Yeah, because
except she's a very beautiful woman.
No, it's just like Dylan. You know, it's like it means to you what it means to you. You can tell your own stories through a lyric like that.
There's layers,
you know?
Layers, yeah. Depth.
Nickel Creek on Nickelback. The quote is, "It's just like Dylan."
Yeah.
A final question to you guys. Back to Nickel Creek. How long do you expect this reunion? I mean, you've all still got your other projects that you're juggling.
Yes.
Is this like a reunion for just now again, or?
We made a record, and we have a certain windows of time. Sorry to tour it, and then really, I mean, it gets pretty busy. I know Chris has a bunch of stuff going on in the fall. I'm making another record, and Sean's going to release one, and so there are the things that we have to do. And we've never been much for planning ahead, so I think we're all just kind of enjoying celebrating this record.
Yeah, a little
and
summer.
Yeah.
So the 7 years ago it was Farewell for Now. Now it's Hello Again for Now.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Hello for Now.
It's been great having you guys here for now.
John,
thanks
thank
for having us.
Yeah. Thank you so
great
much for having
here.
Us.
Well, it's time for me to live the good life on the road and to forgive for the lies that she sold me. We're falling in love, and that's what you do. I didn't know, and I feel like a fool now watching it go, cause I play by the rules. I guess we were above, and that's what I get for trying. She went down to keep calling her name.
Up next, we learn all about Cafe Lena, the coffee house in Saratoga Springs that throughout its history has played a major role in shaping American folk music, hosting artists like Dave Van Ronk, Mississippi John Hurt, and Bob Dylan. That's coming up next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In upstate New York, there's a small coffee house that's been shaping American folk music for over 40 years. Cafe Lena has hosted hundreds of influential musicians, from Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie to Bob Dylan in his first performance outside of New York City. Jocelyn Arum is the director of the Cafe Lena History Project, and they've just released a book and a CD set about this nearly legendary cafe. Jocelyn, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me here.
It's not nearly legendary. I mean, it's a real thing. It's still there, right?
It's still there, and that's part of the continuing legend and story of Cafe Lena, is that it exists today for today's artists, and it was there, you know, for artists that shaped today's artists. So it's a really special place.
Now, what role did, I mean, it opened in 1960. How quickly did it become a part of the kind of folk music circuit?
You know, I'd say right when Lena began, she was already bringing in artists who were big on the scene in New York City and then became well-known in the upstate region. People like Dave Van Ronk, Jackie Washington, who was performing at Club Passim during that time, and Pete Seeger actually stopped by because it was important for him to be on the stage at Cafe Lena.
In the 1960s, my understanding is that Saratoga Springs was a little bit in decline. You know, it wasn't sort of the place that you had to be in the early part of the 20th century and sort of has come back again.
That's right.
So she was kind of like an outpost, I guess.
She was, and that's a good point. You know, in the early days of the cafe, she was coming up against a lot of resistance from people who thought this was a beatnik coffee house and a hangout for hoodlums, and they didn't really understand the significance and the value of what she was bringing, because there was a stigma around that kind of thing, but it was so valuable, and it's lasted to this day.
And when you say Lena, you mean Lena Spencer, the owner and
right.
founder of the club, which, as Jocelyn says, is still going strong. In fact, Arlo Guthrie was back in the club in 2010 to make this recording of City of New Orleans.
Writing on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. On along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out at Kankakee, rolls along past houses, farms, and fields, passing trains that have no names, freight yards full of old black men, the graveyards of their rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you? Say, don't you know me?
That's a little bit of Arlo Guthrie recorded live at Cafe Lena, upstate New York, in Saratoga Springs, and the song City of New Orleans. The album is called Live at Cafe Lena, music from America's legendary coffee house. It is out now, and the book, also called Cafe Lena, is out now. Jocelyn Arum is director of the Cafe Lena History Project. We heard the audience there, and it was Arlo Guthrie, so the place was presumably packed. Mm-hmm. How big a room is it?
Well, the Cafe Lena has only 85 seats, and it's an extremely intimate and small listening room venue, so it gives you that experience of being close to these incredible artists in a way that other places just don't provide.
All right, so let's talk about the Lena behind Cafe Lena. There is actually a Lena Lane, you know, as you go and get your Hattie's Chicken Shack sandwich next door and then go upstairs to the club. And I say that as if I've done it. I've gone to the restaurant. I've actually never walked up those stairs into Cafe Lena itself.
Right.
But there's a little lane, a little alleyway named after her. Who was she? How did she get this club?
Well, Lena Spencer was an actress and an artist who was living in Massachusetts. In the late 1950s, she met a man named Bill, who was a sculptor. And Bill had this idea to start a coffee house in the spirit of the European traditions and becoming a place of where people could really mix and mingle and exchange ideas. And of course, this was the folk boom in the late 1950s, early 1960s. They modeled it after the places that were here in New York City. And they brought this to Saratoga Springs. It was a booming college town, and they thought that the college kids would get in on what they were doing and they would find an audience, and in fact they did. And you know, she really fought her way through a lot of resistance to last through those times, and then when Bill left, she continued on. She used to say, through hell or high water, I'm going to keep this place going, and she really did.
And in 1972, I mean, she actually, we hear her, a lot of her on the box set, because it seems like she introduced everybody. Mm-hmm. But she also mixed it up with the musicians occasionally. She mm-hmm. has a song on the CD.
Sure, and she was well known for acting in plays with Spalding Gray, Liz LeCompte, in her theater at the Cafe Lena, and performing and reading Dylan's Christmas and, you know, in Christmas time in the cafe, she would read and all kinds of things she would participate in.
So this is Lena Spencer, the owner and director of Cafe Lena, and a song called, appropriately, Dear Little Cafe.
12 years ago, when we started the cafe, I came across a bunch of old 78s, and I found a record called Dear Little Cafe, and it was recorded by Nelson Eddy. And it's really a neat song, and I thought that I would try it out. The boys were here, so we kind of whipped it into shape. And I'll even try to do my Nelson Eddy imitation. We'll have a sweet little cafe in a neat little square. We'll find our fortune and our happiness there. We will thrive on the vain and resplendent, and contrive to remain independent. We'll have a meek reputation and a chic clientele. Things will fall under our spell. We'll be so zealous that the world will be jealous of our sweet little cafe in a square.
That is Lena Spencer, recorded live in her own cafe, Cafe Lena, upstate in Saratoga Springs back in 1972. Lena died in 1989, but Cafe Lena continues. And in addition to speaking to Jocelyn Arum of the Cafe Lena History Project, we've also got some of the musicians who've played at Cafe Lena over the years, including David Amram, the composer and conductor who was doing world music years before anybody thought of coining a term like that, and who has played numerous times at the cafe. David, what was it like hearing Lena's voice just now?
Well, it's like she is still here, which she is not only in the memories of people who knew her, but in the whole atmosphere that she established in that incredible place. I hadn't been there in years, and Jocelyn called me up recently, and by an amazing coincidence, I was in Saratoga Springs playing with Willie Nelson for Farm Aid at this huge place, and Jocelyn was kind enough to battle her way through the traffic and drag me 5 miles over to the little cafe, and I walked up those stairs and said, wow. It had the same extraordinary feeling that I remember when I first played there. I believe it was 1972 was the first time.
Well, now let me ask you about why would you have played there? I mean, you by 1972, you had already been known as a composer. You'd written concert works. You'd done sort of jazz-oriented things. You'd been to East Africa. You know, you'd done all of this stuff. What was it about Cafe Lena that seemed like it would fit for you?
Well, it was Lena. She used to come to New York and see me play, and she had that wonderful low way of speaking. She said, David, you must come to the cafe. So when I would go up to Saratoga, I was there with the Philadelphia Orchestra. I went by, and I thought it was really a nice place, but I said, what can I possibly do there? She says, no, when you make up those songs with the crazy lyrics, People would love that. I said, well, that's okay for parties. I don't think everybody, I think, would ask for a refund. So finally, Rosalie Sorrells, who was a great friend of mine, said, man, you have to come up and play there. So I came up, and I was terrified. I'd never actually spent a whole evening playing without a great band or great musicians. But there I was, and I began to realize that in that ambiance, it would be possible for me to expand what I was already doing. And it was only because of seeing and being with those folk players who were so terrific at communicating the nitty-gritty with the audience. Number one, that they're glad to be there. Number two, that they love the music. And number three, that they respect every type of music and every sincere person in the audience and on stage. And it was like a refresher course in everything that I've been trained out playing with the jazz masters and with the classical masters. It brought it all back home.
We're speaking with David Amram, who, among many other things, collaborated with Beat Generation writer Jack Kerouac. He is the subject of a children's song by the ever-popular Raffi. And actually, in a long and varied career, has performed at Café Lena in Saratoga Springs, including this performance from 1974.
I hear little mama call, fixing sausages and racks. She makes life so beautiful, she makes New York nice. She never finished high school, she's always reading books. She knows her inner wish is purer even than her looks. Daddy was a working man, he had 10 kids in all. Mama sure stayed busy getting out of school each fall. Little mama's 20 now, she'll soon be 21. She can paint and play and dance and play guitar for fun. Think of how much she will know when she's 22. She's so free her mind can see right through me and you. She doesn't need a pedestal, she stands tall on her own. Her eyes can make a building smile, a laugh can melt a stone.
That's a bit of the composer and musician David Amram live at Café Lena in Saratoga Springs, recorded in 1974. Stay with us, because in just a moment we'll continue our conversation about this legendary folk coffee house on Soundcheck.
Another damn day, take it away. Gotta make my gig on time. Wailing guitar, being a star, scuffling for nickels and dimes. Silly damn grind, out of my mind, crazy if I stay.
This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer, and this performance by singer Dave Van Ronk, doing his Gaslight Rag, was recorded in 1974 at Café Lena, the long-running coffee house and folk music hub in Saratoga Springs, New York. We're joined today by Jocelyn Aram, director of the Café Lena History Project, which recently released a book and a multiple CD set about the café. And Jocelyn, when you started digging up this treasure trove of recordings, first of all, where did you find this stuff? And how did you make the decision of what got onto the CDs?
Well, I was so fortunate to have been contacted by one of the great audio preservationists, Steve Rosenthal, of Magic Shop Studio right here in New York City, through our mutual friend Christine Lavin, who,
the singer-songwriter.
The singer-songwriter who had been a waitress at Café Lena, as it turned out, who had taken guitar lessons with Dave Van Ronk at Café Lena. She connected us and she said, you know, if you find any recordings, I'd been working on the book project for a number of years, but we had started to have recordings come in. We had started to see names scribbled on old reel-to-reel tapes like Jerry Jeff Walker and Kate and Anna McGarrigle, and we weren't really sure how to preserve those, and it was so fortunate that Steve came forward and had the skill set and just the incredibly Grammy Award winning, you know, skill set to do that for us. And
yeah,
we had received.
Because I will tell you, as someone who has worked with analog tape for many years, you can really find yourself with a broken treasure.
Exactly.
If you don't handle that stuff right.
Yeah, yeah. And we just got to work right away collecting as many tapes as we could. Steve was sending me out to attics and basements, finding all of these tapes that had been hidden and dusty for years, and all of these collectors had kept them very well preserved, thankfully. We ended up coming up with 700 hours.
So what was the most surprising or astonishing discovery you made in this 700 hours of tape?
Wow, there were some great things that we were so excited to find. You know, I think a lot of the original introductions by Lena Spencer, those are precious to us because, mm-hmm. you know, just to hear her and the artists just revere her for those introductions, they're magical. And, you know, I'd say some of the recordings that were made around the time when an artist was just getting their songs out there and the world was hearing it for the first time, like Mr. Bojangles, that's a very early recording of that song, and it's beautiful. It's just so raw. You can hear the room, and some of these songs you can hear the audience, which is also nice.
Worn out with you, silver hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants. The old soft shoe jumps so high, jumps so high. Let me thank you, that's right.
Jerry Jeff Walker, David Bromberg, Mr. Bojangles from Cafe Lena. The box set is called Live at Cafe Lena, music from America's legendary coffee house. The book, also called Cafe Lena. We're speaking about Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs. It is still part of the folk circuit, and musicians like Pete Kennedy are still performing there. Pete performs with his wife Mara as the Kennedys. And it's been actually a number of decades now, Pete, where you can actually sort of predict where musicians are going to play next. They're in the Village tonight. Tomorrow they'll probably drive up to Pawling and play the Town Crier, then up the Hudson to Saratoga, play Cafe Lena, over to the Iron Horse in Northampton, and then to Boston. Is that kind of the circuit that you're on?
Yeah, that's right. It's the circuit. And it's like in the old days, the jazz musicians had what they called the neighborhood, which meant you'd play the Howard Theater in D.C. and the Apollo, and then you'd and the Royal in Baltimore. And we folk people kind of had the same thing. And it is the venues that you were talking about. I've seen the Coen Brothers movie, and it recalls the early 60s in the Village perfectly. I think that there were outposts, Cafe Lena being one of them, of the same kind of culture, that coffee house culture, where Charlie Bird once described to me how a typical night in the Village back then would be a folk singer, some jazz, a poet, and maybe a scene from Brecht or something like that, all on the same stage. And I think Lena was an outlier of that same thing. So if you played in the Village, that's a place where you could go.
Right. Now Lena herself, as I mentioned earlier, she died in 1989. So what is your experience of Cafe Lena?
We played there afterwards with Sarah Craig, who's been running the club and is a wonderful steward, I think, of Lena's philosophy. And so we went up there. We actually offered to play for the very first time for free. You were saying, well, why do people play at such a small place? And I think, like David said, it's a vibe. It's a real salon like you might have played in Paris in 1910.
You know, Cafe Lena is still there, but, you know, times are changing and the finances have always been a kind of a tricky tightrope for the people who run this club. Do you think Cafe Lena has a future?
I think there'll always be a sort of search for authenticity, and every generation has that. Maybe as the culture becomes more and more commercialized, that becomes even more important to kids. You probably have the experience, too. When you talk to young people now, they'll come to me and they go, I want to record, but I want to record on analog tape, and I want to put it out on vinyl. And they're doing the same thing I did, which was when I was a kid, one of my greatest thrills was meeting Duke Ellington. And a lot of my contemporaries, they wanted to, if they could hang out with Led Zeppelin, that would have been great. And I thought maybe that would be too for me. But to meet Duke Ellington, I was connecting all the way back to a much deeper root, I think, than what was available to me on the commercial radio. And I think that that's true of 18-year-olds now, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't meet Ellington, but maybe they'll meet someone that played at Lena.
Well, we're going to wrap up with the Kennedys' arrangement of a great old English folk song called Matty Groves. But before we do, Pete Kennedy of the Kennedys, David Amram, the composer and conductor, Jocelyn Aram, the director of the Cafe Lena History Project, to the three of you, thank you all for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
And there she spied little Matty Groves walking in the crowd. Come home with me, little Matty Groves. Come home with me tonight. Come home with me, little Matty Groves. Sleep with me tonight. Well, I can't come home. I won't come home and sleep with you tonight. By the rings on your fingers, I can tell you are Lord Donald's wife. What if I am Lord Donald's wife? Lord Donald's not at home. He's out in the far cornfields, bringing the yearlings home.
That does it for today's show. Remember, you can explore our archives of live performances and interviews on soundcheck.org. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Soundcheck to get the latest updates about live webcasts, music news, and more. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, and Mike Katziff with Amy Pearl. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.